Hey, it's Tony and Jenny Brewski from Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like this show, please consider helping us keep it on the air by becoming an EPP, that's an extra podcast person. You get a ton of bonus episodes and a brand new one every single week and exclusive video content as well.
It's only $5 a month and you can sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com.
Without our EPPs, this show could not go on and our expenses to keep the show going continue to go up. So if you like it and you want it to continue into the future, please consider signing up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Get all of those exclusives. I can guarantee you will absolutely love them.
Thanks for helping keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air.
If you're already an EPP, thank you so much for the support. If you're not and you've been thinking about signing up, please do so now and allow us to continue to do this show for you every single day. Sign up to be an EPP on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you so much for the support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on tonight's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, it is Open Lines, where we take your calls at 855-853-4802. Here, some great ghost stories as told by the individuals, in most cases, who experience them themselves. It'd be exciting to do that this evening. And also, we're going to do our first round of Ask Tony and Jenny.
This should be fun.
You guys ask the questions on social media, and we answer the questions here on Real Ghost Stories Online. And we'll also talk about some other fun new things we're going to be adding to the EPP program as well. And in addition to the bonus episodes, of course, that are all out there, there's going to be some other fun new stuff for our EPPs in the coming weeks and months. So we'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later on into the show, when we do Ask Tony and Jenny some fun questions here, some real interesting stuff. And, of course, if you want to ask us a question, just watch for that posting on social media. We'll put it out there about once a week, and you guys can just go nuts and ask away. And we'll try and answer those questions here on the show at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, like I said, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at realghoststoriesonline.com. You can also write in your ghost story on our website at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways of doing that. And make sure you press the subscribe button, whatever platform it is you listen to us on. Let's kick off the show today. Let's go to a call here. This first one will be from Anonymous. I always like that. Do they give a name in the call, you know?
Nope.
Okay. It remains anonymous. All right. Let's hear the call. Hi.
Hi there. I'm going to stay anonymous. I don't know why it keeps cutting me off, but I went ghost hunting with a few family members and trip in Georgia. We went to, it was my granddaddy's gravesite, and, you know, we pull out the recorder and all that stuff, and, you know, we heard this whoosh kind of sound, and we turn around, and there's this huge ball of light. And it's, like, probably, like, 7-8 feet up in the air. Nothing's hanging from it. It's not on top of anything or anything like that. I was like, what the heck? Like, is that a bug? You know, I'm trying to come up with, like, everything to, like, kind of debunk it, like, you know? And my dad and my aunt were like, no, that's floating in the air. That's something, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And it starts moving. It starts, like, dancing in a circle and, like, just going around. It would go all the way to the ground, and it would go, like, 10 feet up in the air, and it would go side to side. And, you know, we were just like, what in the world is this? It finally went behind the tree. I tried to get as close as I could, but, you know, from probably, I don't know, maybe, like, it was probably, like, 10 feet away, and it was big. I mean, it was pretty big. So it was really weird. So I was like, that's kind of freaky. I don't know. We should probably head out, guys. And we get in. You know, we do a little bit more, you know, EVP sessions and stuff like that. We get back in. My mom and me were sitting in the back seat, and we heard this growl, which is super creepy. You know, we had our EVP on the whole entire time, but it didn't catch it. It didn't catch the growl. So we get home. We get home, and we're going through all the pictures, and there's this like little demon kind of creature sitting up on this gravestone. And, you know, we took a bunch of pictures of it, of like each grave, you know, and that one of the pictures had the little demon creature sitting on it, and then the next one, it didn't have it. So we were just like, what the fuck? And we get home, you know, we went through all the pictures like on the drive, in the drive, or, you know, while driving, and we get home and go to bed, and, you know, you hear my dad screaming in the middle of the night, and the little demon dude, he says, tried to get inside of him. So we had to call my aunt down from Lawrenceville to go, which Lawrenceville is probably about an hour or so away from where we lived. And she had to come bless the house and do, like, a bunch of stuff to it. And finally, you know, nothing happened after that, but it was just really eerie. I don't know what you guys got out of the story, but I just know it freaked me out. And I don't go ghost hunting anymore because of that experience. We have the picture. It stayed on my dad's computer, so I'll send it in if I can get it from him. You guys are awesome, and I enjoy listening to your show. Take care.
I say, show me the pictures.
I don't want to see it.
Why would you not want to see it?
Because she said it's like a demon-type creature, and it tried to get in her dad. And I don't know. It's different than an apparition or an orb. I don't know.
Do you fear because it could be something like that, that just the mere looking at it could cause something to happen?
No, I just think I'm going to be afraid of it. You know, I'm very okay with listening to the stories and hearing these things,
mm-hmm.
but I can't watch any of the ghost stuff. I can't watch horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's seeing it that gets to me more than hearing about it.
Which is hilarious.
I know.
For what we do.
I know.
I've been saying to you for several weeks, I want to see Annabelle. I'm not going to see it.
Oh, I know. I noticed how you dropped a subtle hint when I had to take the movies back to the movie store yesterday. You were like, hey, I've been wanting to see Annabelle. I'm like, that's good. Bye.
I thought maybe you'd want to see it.
I don't know.
At some point. How far did we get? Did you finish The Conjuring?
I think I got like 3/4 of the way through it.
That was a flight we were on when we were watching that.
It was the lesser of the two things. That it was least... It was less scary than The Flight there.
It was. It actually was less scary than The Flight and the fine flying that was being done that day. but that's just, it's kind of funny. That's the only way I got Jenny to see The Conjuring was essentially having her stuck in an airplane seat where she couldn't get out. And I had my iPad, and it was one of those, on some flights now they let you, they have like the in-flight movies, but you can actually stream them on the plane
mm-hmm.
right to your iPad for free. And that was like one of the 8 movies that they were offering. And hey, Conjuring. Let's watch The Conjuring.
Yeah.
So
that was okay.
So yeah, you didn't see the you know, the good parts.
Oh, poor me.
That's for our next flight.
Oh, great.
You're lucky I'm sitting next to the 2-year-old in the next flight that we take. So we'll watch it together.
There you go.
And she's like, Mommy, silly ghosts, silly demons. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, this is Alma. I think I've submitted a story before to you guys about my mother when she was a child working as a maid and basically hearing weird noises outside her bedroom one time, and then having the place not disturbed at all, but it sounded like it was. I have another story, though it's not my story. I'm not lucky enough to be contacted by ghosts, but I do have premonitory dreams, but that's a little different. This happened a long time ago, about how am I 34, so my cousin was a baby. Maybe about 20 years ago, 25 years ago. And it's actually a story my aunt told me about her 2 daughters. I have 2 cousins. She's my mom. My aunt is my mom's younger sister, and I have 2 cousins that I'm really close to. There's an older one who she and I are only 3 years apart, and there's a younger one who's 6 years younger than me. And My aunt and her husband at the time were a little lax about getting their children baptized. Most of us got baptized when we were about maybe less than a year old. But she baptized her daughter, her older one, under a year. But then she took a long time to baptize her older daughter, her younger daughter. Her name is, we call her Min. And so she waited till my younger cousin was about maybe 4 to baptize her. And she would tell us that some weird stuff would happen before she baptized her daughter, which is one of the reasons why she decided to baptize her. Because one of the things that happened is that they used to have this swing set in the back of their house. And at night, sometimes she would walk out of her bedroom to do something or go get some water or something. And she would look out the window and see the swing set. And there was one of the swings, not all, there was like 2 or 3 swings on there. One of the swings would actually move on its own. And she always got this strange feeling that something weird was happening. She just never could really figure out what it was. But that was one of the things she told me. There's other stuff she said happened that she never talked to me about. But I remember she telling me this, and she would see also in the swing. I think she would describe it as like a white, like a little girl dressed in all white. And the little girl would be swinging on the swing set when she could see her, but she couldn't see her at all. And that kind of made her worry because she was wondering, why was this happening? And this had never happened before. But then she kind of realized that it was maybe because my younger cousin wasn't baptized. And she said that once she baptized her daughter, and she made an effort to baptize her, all of that weird swing set stuff stopped. But that was one of the reasons why she baptized my cousin, my younger cousin. But it took a long time for her to baptize her when she was like 3 or 4, which is pretty old for baptisms. But that was the reason why she did that. Well, thank you for listening to my story. If you hear any weird noises behind me, it's I'm driving to somewhere else. So that's probably what you'll hear in the background. I'm also an EPP, so I love hearing y'all's stories and basically discussing all the paranormal stuff, knowing that it's not weird stuff that happens to people. It just happens. Once again, thanks for listening to my story. I hope you guys have a good day. Bye.
What do you think?
I think maybe the ghost little girl,
mm-hmm.
after the daughter was baptized, decided she couldn't play with her anymore.
But why?
I don't know. That's what I can't figure out.
Does that make it not such a nice ghost little girl if she's not playing anymore? Does that make her not necessarily a ghost little girl? Does it make it a ghost little demon if the baptism is scaring away the thing?
And maybe so. I mean, I wouldn't think that the baptism would have an effect on just a regular ghost.
I wouldn't think. I'm wondering if that somehow not only helps protect in ways of dark entities and such, but if it would also help protect in ways of just otherworldly energies or entities in general, meaning just ghosts in general.
Yeah.
Not that they have to be bad or negative, but if it kind of, I guess for lack of a better term, you know, puts up a wall, mm-hmm. or a veil or depletes that sense we've talked about before?
I don't think so. There's too many people out there that have had experiences that, you know, this isn't happening just to people that haven't been baptized or,
sure.
or anything like that.
I agree. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, I don't think so. I've been baptized and I still see shit, so sorry.
It doesn't work for everyone.
No, it doesn't.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go to John. Hi, let's hear yours.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is John from North Carolina. called up about a week or two ago about the ghost I saw outside of my apartment. Got two quick stories to tell you. First one is, I'd heard a while back, maybe a couple months actually, there's a guy that called up from North Carolina to talk about the Lawson Bridge up in Lawsonville, North Carolina, where if you park your car on it and turn it off in the night, that it won't turn back on until you push it off the bridge. When I heard that, me and a buddy of mine drove out there, and it was dusk. The sun was going down, but it was still a little bit light out. We parked his Jeep on it. We put it in neutral. It was an automatic. And so we turned it off. And like I said, it was dusk, but it did take us three times to crank that damn Jeep up. And he hightailed it out of there and swore to God that he didn't believe it, but I pretty much believe it. So whoever called up and gave that story, I'm right there with you. But the story I want to tell is one time I was staying up in Pilot Knob, North Carolina, in a little cabin with my fiance. And we were up there for 3 days and two nights. And first day and night, it was cool. You know, first day we got there, we slept. Next day we woke up, went hiking a little bit. My uncle don't live too far from there, so we drove up to his house, saw him. It was actually New Year's Eve, and we saw him. We went back to the cabin, went to sleep, and I woke up in the middle of the night with the most terrifying experience I've ever had. It might be sleep paralysis, or, you know, whatever the hell that is. Might be that, but I woke up to seeing myself and my fiance on the bed looking at us. I was looking at us on the bed, and I felt like I was struggling to get back into my body. And I remember the whole time in my head, I could feel myself in my body on the bed, although I was looking at us. And I was trying to move, I was trying to scream, I was trying to do everything. Like, I could even feel myself in my body, even though I was looking at us. And, you know, everything was tensed up. I was trying to move, trying to get her to help me. I thought I was dying. Maybe I did die. I don't know. That's my own thought about it. But eventually, whenever I came back into my body, I hit the crap out of her by mistake, because I was just eagerly trying to move to get her attention. And when I woke up, my hand smacked the hell out of her. And she woke up, and I told her about it. And we were both freaked out, and we just went downstairs and had a couple of drinks until we could calm down and go back to sleep. But I'd like to see what you guys have to say about that. And I also have another story that's ongoing about my grandmother who passed away, who I love dearly. Part of me feels like she's in hell. So if you want to hear that story, just let me know. I'll listen every day. So I hope everything's going well out there in Kansas. I will talk to y'all soon. Bye.
It's not a phrase you hear often very much, where I love my grandma dearly, but I have a feeling she's in hell.
Yeah, that's not a happy thought.
I'm sorry to hear that, but yeah, we would like to hear your story. So I guess I'll just answer it, you know, completely. Honestly, that I would like to hear what's going on there.
You know what bridge he was talking about?
I do remember that story. Can you reiterate it a little bit?
Yeah, that was the one I read at Christmas originally.
Okay.
And the floorboards from the house where the whole family had been murdered
were
made into a bridge. Mm-hmm. And exactly what he said happens is what happens on this bridge. And then we had a listener call in that had that happen to them, and I don't think they realized we had already talked about that story at Christmas, because it was after Christmas. So That's what that bridge is all about.
So how does it make you feel that you you influenced their New Year's activities with your research and your story?
I don't think I did. I think he actually went out and did this after he heard the caller.
Oh, okay, as the caller, and then we did more on it on Christmas. Okay, I see.
But now the other part of what he was talking about, that sounds like a classic out-of-body experience.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that situation was a sleep paralysis.
No.
As he was kind of alluding to there. I think there's something more going on there, and that's I don't know what to make of out-of-body experiences either.
Yeah.
I think they fall somewhere kind of into the ghost realm because for whatever reason, sometimes people have these and then they're actually seen by other people. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in this case, he saw himself down there. But I don't necessarily understand the logic, the why, or I don't understand the logic of really most of what we talk about either. It's just kind of why we do the show, to try and figure some of these things out. But in the end, we just have more questions than answers. But interesting experience.
Yeah. No, I think it was an out-of-body. I think it's pretty classic.
Yeah, definitely. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to Carl. Hi, you're on the show.
Hello, Briskies. This is Carl with a K from Cedar Falls, Iowa. I personally have not experienced any paranormal activity, and I'm actually thankful because I have friends and family who do have experience, and it's not all good, and I don't really want to go through what they have gone through, but some of it's pretty cool. So my the way I think about spirituality and the spiritual realm has been shaped by my whole life of being a Christian, and my mom and dad are Christians. A lot of Christian friends. My mom actually has just become a pastor, but she had an experience just after she got married in 1984. She and my dad were new Christians, and they were just for a few months they'd been going to a church that was pretty charismatic and the kind that they talk about the spiritual realm a lot, like angels and demons. And so my mom, being a new believer, wanted to see an angel. She'd been kind of just thinking about that a lot and thought it'd be cool. One night she's going to sleep, she's kind of in that mindset. She didn't actually say, "I want to see an angel," but she's in bed. The house she was in was my dad's bachelor pad before he got married. And my mom actually saw a shadow figure over my sister's crib, my older sister's crib, in that house. And the reason why I personally think is because my dad has a pretty abusive childhood in his past, and his family, you know, addiction and alcohol and just negativity all around and just broken relationships. And I personally think there was kind of just a demonic oppression over his family, and I think that kind of leaked into this house that he was in. Anyway, my mom is in bed and she's about to go to sleep and just feels this thump, an audible thump on her chest, and there's this huge cat-shaped dark creature on her chest, and she described it, its outline, as looking like kind of cold fire, so kind of maybe flame shaped outline, but not moving, and it had yellow eyes, and she instantly thought it wants in, and it was kind of clawing at her. And she remembered the pastor's wife of that church saying there's power in the name of Jesus. So she can barely speak because she's so frightened, and she manages to say Jesus two or three times. And after about the third time, it just flew away fast through the wall and left. She hasn't really told me that. She didn't really tell me that until I was older, and it's always been pretty vague, but I've been listening to the podcast for a couple months now at work, and I'm only in August, mid-August of last year, so there's a lot more stories to come, and I don't know if I'm covering territory that's already been covered a lot, but I have a friend named Will, and he's a believer. He's pretty charismatic dude, been a youth minister for a long time. He's he works for the Salvation Army, which is a church, and he works at their camp right now. But 10 years ago, he was in Omaha, and actually, no, Fremont. I think that's just a short drive away from Omaha. And he and his girlfriend, they were about to be engaged, and their friend were at a coffee shop at around 11 at night, and their friend was closing it. So they were hanging out, and all night there had been this car circling around the block, just kind of going slow. And they closed up shop, and they were walking out, and they're in the parking lot, and the car pulls up across the street from them, and these four big dudes get out of the car, and they're wearing big hoodies and coats, and big coats, and I mention this because it was the summer, so Will sees them, and he's like, oh, these guys are armed. Because of their clothing, it was just huge. Sorry, I don't know if you can hear that. This cat is purring like crazy. Not an EVP. They get out, and you know, he's thinking there's going to be trouble. But he gets in his mind. I don't know if he audibly heard it, but something telling him to tell him off. So he proceeds to say in a loud voice, we're closed here. You guys need to leave now. And the guys from across the street, you can see their faces, and they go pale and just kind of go, oh, sorry. And then they get in the car and leave. So the next day on the news, there was apparently a gas station a mile away was robbed. By four men, and two of them were caught. And those two men, when interviewed by the police, they said they talked about that night they were just going around looking for places like any stores or coffee shops, gas stations to rob. And they talked about one place that they had stopped at where there was a guy and two young women were walking out of one of the coffee shops they were looking to rob, and there were two huge, very large, scary guys standing behind them that freaked them out, and that's why they left. So basically what my Christian intuition tells me, Will had two guardian angels behind him that told him, you know, tell them off, we've got you. So that's a demon and an angel story. Thanks for listening. I'm just going to go ahead and say, yeah, I love the podcast, and doing a good job. I look forward to, I have months of material to get through. I just listen to it in the warehouse that I work in, and I get goosebumps when I'm all alone over in some random corner where no one else is. But I love it, and I love all the different people that call in and have so many different experiences. I really don't know much about people ghosts. I've never believed in them before, but I've heard so many stories now. But angels and demons and stuff like that, I've always been interested in. So I have actually some more stories from Will, because that's the kind of guy he is. He just attracts that kind of activity, I guess. So thanks for listening. Bye.
Thank you for calling in and sharing. You continue listening for any length of time. Oh, people, ghosts, yes, you will believe in them, and you'll believe in many, many, many other things as well that you never thought possible, just because there's so many unexplained things going on out there. What'd you think of his story?
It's funny. They sound like angels, but they sure don't sound like they look like angels, you know what I mean?
Sure, I suppose if you're trying to be, you know, protective of someone, and if it is an angel mm-hmm. story, you would need to take on whatever, I guess, you know, look you want. I guess, looking like a meek, meager, you know, wearing white angel. Although I suppose if you're standing there with wings hanging off of you, that might freak somebody out too.
Uh-huh.
But maybe more the burly type. would actually, you know, do the job.
Yeah. So,
and it sounds like it did.
It did. That's a neat story.
It did the job quite well. So thank you for that. That was a really interesting one. Our phone number, of course, 855-853-4802. If you like the show, please consider supporting it and keeping it on the air. Of course, we do have a lot of that material out there. Almost a full year of material that you can listen to for free. But if you'd like that that plethora of material to continue flowing out, we do need support with the show and keeping it going. So that $5 a month, not only do you get all the bonus episodes to listen to, but you're keeping the show going. Because without that, all of it goes away, including the material that's already out there. So please, please consider supporting it. It's only $5 a month. You sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. We'll talk a little bit more about some of the new cool stuff that's coming to the EPP program in the coming weeks and months in just a little bit. Let's go to another caller, Spencer.
Hey, Tony. My name is Spencer. I'm from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And this story starts actually in Owosso, Oklahoma. I know for a fact I have a lot of Indian in me. I mean, I'm Caucasian, but, you know, if you're from Oklahoma, most likely you have some Indian. And I have some Creek and some Cherokee in me, actually. And in Owosso, like I said, I remember as a child staying with my grandparents, and they lived in a very wooded area. And, you know, I remember it could have been my imagination, but I mean, I think it was spirit of Indians in the woods just running around. And I remember just hearing these things while trying to sleep, and just, you know, it was just such an incredible experience. And I remember my grandparents telling me stories of, you know, them hearing things, and, you know, some other family members would come over and spend the night, and they would think they would hear things. And it was just, it was so cool looking back at it now. From what I know, there was no actual sightings, but things in those woods were heard. And, you know, there'd usually be, you know, not being racist or, you know, offensive towards Indians, but, you know, their chants and, you know, the things they'd use out in those woods. So, I mean, it could have been easily a Blair Witch Project kind of thing out in those woods. It may have not been Indian. But, yeah, I just wanted to call and share that story with you. And it's always been something deep to my heart because, like I said, I am Creek and Cherokee. And I've always felt like a very strong connection to, you know, the Indian heritage. So maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe for some reason, I don't know why they would be in the woods necessarily. I haven't actually been able to research that. I know some tribes were in that area, so maybe that was like where they stayed. So I don't know. It's just one of those things I was thinking about and figured I would call and let you in on that. So yeah, thanks. Bye.
I think it makes total sense.
Yeah.
I mean, go ahead.
No, I was going to say I find any kind of ghost story or paranormal story that has to do with Native Americans very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and why would they be in the woods? Well, because it was their land, and, you know, either it still is, or, you know, there's, you know, so many generations that lived there.
Mm-hmm.
And it could very well simply be some sort of residual thing going on there over the course of the land. And it may be a woods now, it may be a forest, but it may not have always been, or it may have been, and that was actually a settlement area at one point in time. But it makes total sense.
Do you have any Native American ancestry that you know of?
Not that I'm aware of.
No.
I did the ancestry thing,
mm-hmm.
and just, you know, out of curiosity to see what everything was. And for the most part, everything that I could trace back based on information that I had, Norwegian and German, is pretty much where most of it falls.
Uh-huh.
I think there might, I can't even recall what some of the other, I believe there's a little bit of Bohemian there,
mm-hmm.
Is what I was always told, but I didn't have enough information to trace far enough back on that great-grandmother to get more info.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of it that I was able to trace back pretty much landed me near the North Pole. It's fun because now we have actually several listeners in Norway.
Uh-huh.
There was one the other day that posted greetings from Norway. It's because they were celebrating their Independence Day there the other day. And they like, since you're Norwegian, here's a, and they posted a flag up on our website.
Oh, that's awesome.
One of our Norwegian listeners.
That's cool.
And the other, the German ancestry was kind of spread out all over the country. But the Norwegian area was very, very much super far north. So I can say Santa. Santa is probably one of my ancestors.
Oh, okay.
So there you go. That's why I was trying to do the beard thing for a little while.
Uh-huh.
Our listeners don't know this because they don't see us very often. But I did attempt to grow a beard out for a little while. It didn't look bad.
No, you did a good job.
I just need to get one of those clips for my razor so it doesn't look so homeless. So it can be a little more groomed.
Okay.
Not just kind of every which way, if uh-huh. you will. But I shaved it off. It was kind of bothering me after a while. I was getting obsessive about it too. I was like sitting there, like all I would do is just fiddle with it uh-huh. over and over. I was like, okay, I gotta stop doing this. So anyhow, my point was trying to look like Santa Claus. Hey, a couple more months, I could get that in time for Christmas.
You still won't look like Santa.
A balding Santa with a semi-red beard.
There you go. You look more like bad Santa.
Krampus.
Yeah.
I'm going for Krampus.
Okay.
Come here, kids. 855-853-4802. That's our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go over to, I think, Veronica here. Hi.
Hi, this is Veronica, and I'm from Indiana, and I'm a new listener to the podcast, and just hearing everybody's story made me want to share my own. So to get started, I was a senior in high school when this happened. One of my best friends at the time, she called me up, and she invited me to come stay the night at her house. Now, she lived in a mansion. I mean, a absolutely huge open house. And it was really, really creepy to be in there, you know, by yourself, especially at night. So that's why, you know, she called me and she said, I really want you to stay the night. Some weird things have been happening in my house. I think there's, you know, two ghosts, like, living in the closet of my room. So I'm kind of a skeptic. My parents always raised me to believe supernatural things are always either A, not real, or B, evil. You know, but having grown up now, you know, I formed my own opinions about it, obviously. So, you know, to be a good friend, I said, yes, okay, I'll come spend the night. You know, we'll see if we can maybe figure out what this is and if we can make it go away. So I go over, and she starts explaining to me that she thinks there are two spirits in her house, specifically in her room. She thinks one is an older man who does not have a positive energy to him. And then she claims that the other one is a 13-year-old boy named Timmy. And that she's done previous little experiments in the past to try to, you know, figure out who these spirits were and everything, and that's how she knew the name. So I told her, why don't we set up a test, you know, and see if anything happens, and if nothing happens, you know, you can calm down. It's probably just, you know, just the floors in your house creaking. Everything is so big in here, you know, it's easy to get confused on, you know, sounds and everything, especially at night. So what we decided on was that we were going to go into her closet and set up a tall, very thick candle that was very, very sturdy on a completely flat surface. And the candle on the top had been melted. So there was a nice ditch, like a little divot in the top, and the surrounding sides of the candle had not been melted through. So we put a large steel, this ball, on top of the candle. And actually, in her closet, there's another little door. And that little door is, if you open it, it's like a very dark little crawl space, almost of like an attic. It's just a very, very weird little additional room inside of her closet. So we put it in front of that door, and we set the ball on top of the candle on the very flat surface and said, if there's anything here, if there's anything real, please push the ball off of the candle. So we leave it up there, we shut the door to the closet, and we walk downstairs for a couple hours. And we decide to go back up and check it. When we go back up, the candle is completely undisturbed, but the metal ball is on the floor right next to, like, right in front of the door. Now, there's no way that anything could have pushed that off, could have rolled it. I'm talking, the floor was very, very flat, very level. There were no pets or anything in there as we shut the door to bed. So we were freaked out. So later we call my other friend to come over, and she suggests that we do a Ouija board. Now, I was always taught Ouija boards were bad, but at the time I was trying to keep an open mind, and my friend was really scared, and she thought it would help, so I agreed to, you know, be a part of it as long as we kept everything very safe, you know, spiritually. So we set up a ring of salt, we said a prayer before we started, and we decided we would invite one of our guy friends over just to watch over us in the house in case anything went awry. So he felt very uncomfortable with participating in the whole situation, so he did not participate whatsoever. He just sat on the couch and kind of watched us do the Ouija board. Now, as we're doing it, I was the one, and my other friends actually ended up chickening out, and I was the one that was using the little piece to move around the letters. So I asked if anybody was there, and I got an answer pretty much straight away. The force on the actual little piece was very, very strong. It moved very strongly and fast across the board. It said, "Yes." I said, "What's your name?" It said, "Timmy," just like my friend had said. Then I asked, "How old are you?" And it said, 13. And at this point, I said, "Are you a spirit of positive or negative energy?" It responded positive. At that point, I asked, thinking in my head, okay, my friend's house had been built only 5 years ago, and they were the only people to move that have lived there to have moved in. So there couldn't be this old history behind the house itself, you know, for there to be ghosts or whatever. So I asked it, "How did you get in here?" And it just said the most creepy, disturbing, unsettling thing. It said, "Secret." And I said, "What do you mean by secret?" And then at that moment, we heard a loud bang in the fireplace where we were sitting in her fireplace. It was a metal fireplace. And I felt this freezing cold, like, touch to my arm, like somebody, like a person had touched me. And I said, "Was that you? Did you just touch me?" And the piece moved to yes. And at that moment, I felt very unsettled. Now, I addressed it about the other spirit that my friend had claimed was living in her closet as well, the negative one. I said, "Is there a negative spirit as well?" And it said yes. And I said, "What does it want?" And it just spelled the word wife. So at that point, my friend got so scared that she said, okay, we're done. And we said goodbye, and we ended the session. And as soon as we were done, I just felt an overwhelming sense of just dread and nausea and just the worst headache I've ever had in my life. Like, all the energy had been drained from me. So I just wanted to share that story. I checked up with her a couple months ago and asked her, she moved out into an apartment. I asked her how she was doing, if she had any more experiences. And so far since she's left the house, she hasn't had any experiences with those spirits or those entities, which is very good news. So thank you so much for listening to my story, and I hope you guys feature me on your podcast, and if not, it was great just sharing it with you all. Bye.
Thank you for the story, Veronica, and calling in to the show.
I think it sounds like the older spirit is using the younger spirit as, I don't know, kind of a way to manipulate.
It's a conduit?
That or, you know, the younger spirit seems less threatening.
Mm-hmm.
So you're more apt to talk to it.
Mm-hmm. So like an older sibling saying a little sibling wants to do something, so let's do it?
Kind of something like that.
Kind of like that, except in ghostly terms?
Yeah.
That happens in real life.
I think it's more of like a... I don't know, a manipulator?
Sure.
Yeah.
To get what it wants, it's using the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have thought that those dynamics exist in death?
I don't know. I never would have thought of that ever, but it seems to be something we come across from time to time.
It is. You learn something new every day about death here on our show.
Yes.
At Real Ghost Stories Online. Well, let's go to a new segment that we have here. This is going to be Ask Tony and Jenny, because we get a lot of questions on social media. We get a lot of questions via email. Lots of people have inquiring minds about stuff to do with the show, about us. So I thought, let's just make this a regular segment.
Okay.
Once a week, we will we'll answer some of the questions here in an abbreviated version of Ask Tony and Jenny. We'll get through a handful here. There's I have a huge list. I don't think we're going to get through the whole thing. But we will do that here on our regular show.
Mm-hmm.
And then... as an added thing of one of the many new added things that are coming to the EPP program, we're going to do a version of this with even more questions on camera.
Yay.
On video camera.
It'll be good.
And it's going to be filmed by our two-year-old. She's going to sit here, so it might be a little Blair Witch-ish, but no, we'll actually have it filmed well. You'll have another way to see us, and we'll be able to interact that way a little bit more, but it'll be a new segment. Ask Tony and Jenny. There'll be the version of it here, and an extended version with video for our EPPs, and I'll let you know when that video is up. It does not exist quite yet in video form, but it will. Very, very soon. So that's one of those added things that we're going to be adding up there. As I'm also working on creating an EPP membership site. So right now the EPP program, they go out via email.
Mm-hmm.
Every week, get the email with all the links to the episodes and such. Soon we're going to have it so you can actually log in and download away as the episodes are posted. And we can post even more stuff as well. So there's going to be a lot of new, fun, exciting stuff for the EPPs.
That'll be good.
As we get it up and running. I'm just going through the process of creating all of that. And it's a slow going thing because there's a lot of moving parts behind the scenes to make it all technically work correctly.
Sure.
So, but exciting stuff nonetheless. So anywho, let's kick this off here. Jim writes in, will you ever release a gag reel? There have been some terrific moments that have been cut here and there. How do you know they've been cut here and there? Because you're suddenly like, oh, a clip, and you know that there's something else said? You're right. That does happen from time to time. It's not all that frequent, but I do have a file here on the computer that is outtakes.
And there's some pretty good ones.
Yeah, some pretty bizarre, weird things that have been said on this show that are not really on this show, but were cut from the show. So actually, yes, that is something that we are planning and putting together. It's going to be an extra added thing for the EPPs as well on the website once that's up and functioning.
Yes.
In the coming weeks and months. So yes, the gag reel is in the works. Sarah writes in, Sarah Stone, also, could you do a studio behind the scenes video tour, maybe just for EPPs, put that in the emails, or maybe just here on Facebook for everyone? Yeah, I think we can work on that.
That would be fun.
In the coming weeks, that's something else we can add to the to-do list. You can see they got a chance to see some of our stuff the other week with some of our videos on the weekends. They did a video EPP, preview, if you will, talking about it, and they got to see some of the canvases on the wall, which were just, you know, it's episode, you know, posters.
Sure.
Of stuff that we've done. So you've seen the graphics before, but it's kind of fun here in the studio how we got that put up there. Debbie Weissman writes in, would you consider doing a book of the best stories you have received? Yes.
Yeah.
It's another thing. These are all good ideas.
They are.
And a lot of it's things that we've actually kind of been talking about behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
It's another thing where there's a lot of moving parts. My first thought actually was doing audiobook.
Yeah.
I know, of some of our best stories and affecting it even more. Not just kind of, we have, you know, some creepy music that plays in the background. But I was thinking of in that version, adding some very time-appropriate effects.
Okay.
And sometimes it just happens that way. But really over, you know, I don't want to say overproducing it, but producing it more in a theatrical sense.
I didn't know they did that on audiobooks.
Some do.
Okay.
Yeah, some do. It wouldn't be overdone, mm-hmm. but there would be more of a theatric to it. for some of these stories. You almost have to with some of these stories just because they're so good. But it is something that's not in motion yet.
It's on our list of hope to do's.
Yeah, it's somewhere on the radar.
Yes.
Maybe off over the ocean still as a small high pressure system. But eventually it will move northbound and then strike. Eric writes in, have you ever experienced any strange phenomena, equipment failures, etc. while recording your show?
I don't think we... Oh, not recording this show.
Okay.
But do you remember when we were at the winery up in Wisconsin?
Yeah.
And we were doing a video for a different website at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was standing there filming, and at the time, Olivia was like 3. So she was just right at, I call it butt height, you know, where mm-hmm. they come up and they hug on you and stuff. And I felt her coming, and I told her not to push on me because I was... recording.
Yeah.
And then out of the corner of my eye, see, she is across the room with your mother and nobody's behind me, but something pushed on me at butt height for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we got home and you were going through the video, it was all fuzzy when that happened.
Yeah, there was digital like distortion.
Yes.
Right there at that time. And it was bizarre. We didn't get anything on camera. There wasn't any orbs or anything.
No.
But it was a technical glitch.
And it was a known to be haunted winery.
Very well known. It's called Von Steel, and it's in Algoma, Wisconsin, if you're ever there to go check it out. It was an interesting experience. It'd be fun to go back there and maybe do an interview or something.
I don't want to know what it's going to touch next time.
I'm going to go in there wearing a Speedo.
Oh, boy.
James writes in, do you think it's possible that sleep paralysis could be riding a boundary that allows us to experience existence and or awareness outside of our own normal perception? Or is it just a fictitious experience created by imagination in a state between sleep and awake?
No, it's an actual thing. I need to do more research on it. It's mm-hmm. not. It's not really... Well, I guess in a way it's your mind playing tricks on you, but it's a documented medical thing. So,
but I think the question is there more to it than just the medical side of it? Are we tapping into something paranormal when we get into that state?
I think sometimes yes, and probably sometimes no.
Just depends.
I think it just depends, and I know that's a shitty answer.
how do you ever know then? I mean, I think that's the crux of it, is you don't know half the time.
I think sometimes you do know when you have some kind of lingering effect, you mm-hmm. know, where you've had sleep paralysis and you saw something demonic, and then you go look in the mirror and you've got a red whelp
mm-hmm.
or something where it thumped you or touched you or something like that. That's what I call like a lingering effect or something that happens outside of just the paralysis state.
Sure. Or an experience that's like a physical evidence
yes.
type piece there, or an experience that is going on when you are completely conscious that can be related to it.
Yes.
That would be another one as well. Liz writes in, do you have your own ghost story to share, like the scariest one, the most interesting one? I think I do, and I think I'm going to do that one on the video.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about that experience on the video version of Ask Tony and Jenny, which will be up for our EPPs in the next couple of weeks here, and we'll talk about it on the air when it's up there. But that's going to be... I think we'll kick off the video with that question right there.
That sounds good.
There's a whole lot more. If you have a question that you would like to ask us, you can do it on social media, on Facebook, or you can tweet it to us as well. Ghost Story Radio, or at Ghost Story Radio is our Twitter handle. And of course, you can follow us on Facebook and post your question there. We'll post the question out once a week. So if you want to try and keep it in that thread, that would be great. Then I don't have to search in 500 places to find your questions. And we'll make this a regular weekly thing. We'll do some on the air and then do an extended video session for our EPPs.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. There you go. I feel like we should have some sort of real cheesy, like, game show music right now.
I was thinking something like that. This creepy kiddo music is kind of...
Maybe I'll work on that for the next time we do this.
That sounds good.
Do, 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 do. Now ask Tony and Jenny. Would that be good?
No.
Brought to you by Menon.
Okay.
Do they make anything anymore?
I don't think so. I haven't heard the Bi-Minon thing at the end of a commercial in forever.
You know, so many brands are going back to retro looks, mm-hmm. and like Miller Lite now has their old logo back.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cereals that are doing it. Pepsi, you know, during the throwback with real sugar and everything. I'm just waiting for that.
Really?
We need more of the old throwback jingles on the air again. I think that would make everything so much better in the world. There you go. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, please consider supporting it, keeping us on the air, becoming an EPP, extra podcast person, get all the bonus episodes, all the other bonus features. So many cool things coming your way on the EPP side of things. So please check that out. That is what keeps this show going. Without it, the show would not exist. So there you go. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.